Welcome everybody to the Ride In DFS and Betting Podcast for week 4 DraftKings lineup review, cash game lineup review. They could make a t-shirt about the week I had in DraftKings and it would say I did not roster TJ Hockenson, but I cashed anyway. I'm not sure there's many people who are in my situation. We'll talk about not rostering TJ Hockenson and the mistake that it was in a second. But let's look at the lineup. I went Josh Allen at quarterback. I had Saquon, Jamal Williams, and Khalil Herbert at running back. I had Tyler Lockett, Brandon Cooks, Josh Reynolds at wide receiver. And I had the Broncos defense at in the DST slot, which I did not have at the beginning. I have no clue why. I shouldn't say I have no clue. I swapped defenses in the 4 o'clock games, which in my own head it made sense, but after doing it, I wish I hadn't. Didn't really matter in terms of cashing and double ups. Probably cost me a few percentage points in the head-to-head win game. So head-to-heads, I took down 61% of head-to-heads, which is not great. And that brings my year-long total to 64% of head-to-heads. So far this year, it is 84, 38, I believe 64. I don't have them right in front of me. 84, 38, and then I want to say 64, 61. So through 4 weeks, we are doing pretty solid. 3-1 in terms of double ups and at about 64% of head-to-heads. And each week I play a different amount of head-to-heads based on how many I scoop or how many get scooped. So it's not always, you know, you can't just add up all the percentages and divide by the number of weeks. Doesn't work that way. For instance, this week, like I mentioned on the live show on Twitter, I unregistered from a lot of head-to-heads because I was in a last minute golf tournament at my club and I didn't want to let head-to-heads that I would normally cancel dangle out there, right? So like right around 12:30, 12:45, I start canceling head-to-heads just because I don't want to get auto-matched with really good players. So I canceled them early. I canceled them like 3 hours early because I knew I wouldn't be able to do it right at 12:30. So I didn't play in as many head-to-heads as I normally would this week. I mean, I probably wouldn't have mattered. I probably docked myself a few bucks because, you know, if you win it, if you're hitting at a 61, 62% rate like I did this week, odds are that I probably canceled more winners than losers. Nonetheless, the reason the lineup shook out like it did, I wanted Josh Allen over everything. I know some guys were looking to play cheap quarterbacks like Marcus Mariota, Geno Smith. Though Geno Smith ended up playing amazing, but he was not highly owned. He was only like 5% owned. It was really Marcus Mariota that was the one where everybody went to in the cheap. If they're playing a cheap quarterback, that obviously did not work at all. I just thought Josh Allen's ceiling in that game was too good. And the reason that I went to Allen also is because I did not want to play Diggs over Allen. Right? I knew I wasn't going to play both of them. I knew I wanted a piece of the Buffalo passing game. So I went Allen over Diggs because of a little bit, and I mentioned this on the live show, I leaned Allen because he can get there with his legs. He could get there in a multitude of ways, passing to other, you know, to Gabe Davis, to Dawson Knox, to Isaiah McKenzie, etc. Whereas if the passing game kind of goes awry against Baltimore and Diggs doesn't get there, he's only getting there one way, you know, being fed targets. So I thought Allen was safer with the rushing upside, rushing touchdowns. which ended up coming to fruition. He was the right one to be on. There was no way I wasn't playing Saquon. He was playing the abysmal Bears defense. He looks electric again, and he was about $1,000 cheaper than running backs. He was better than I thought. He was a great deal, a great steal in terms of pricing. And because I wasn't playing Diggs, he was the other stud that I paid up for. Jamal Williams and Khalil Herbert, basically the same thing. I thought they were way underpriced for the role that they were going to have. Really, it probably should have been paying down for Josh Jacobs, who was the other. He was like the last man out. I mentioned there was four running backs that I wanted to play in cash. Those were the four. The three I played plus Jacobs. Probably should have played, obviously, definitely should have played Jacobs over Khalil Herbert. So then it came down to, and mind you, I'm making all these decisions while I'm sitting in a golf cart waiting to hit my next shot. So then it came down to my favorite receivers. It was Diggs, but I knew I had already ruled him out. I really liked Lockett. He had 9 catches in 2 straight games. The atmosphere in the dome, high scoring. I thought it was going to be, you know, one of the higher scoring games on the slate. It ended up being that. That's why I locked in Tyler Lockett. From there, Brandon Cooks. He was in my article on 4-for-4 as someone who was ready to bust out. Did he? Not so much. 7-for-60 and a touchdown. That's great. You know, 19 DK points is great. Wasn't an exactly an eruption spot, but he was getting the usage, and now he finally had a solid matchup and a home game on the turf where there wasn't going to be elements. Like the first couple weeks, there was elements, tough defenses, et cetera, et cetera. He was getting the targets, just not converting on them. So that is why I went to Brandon Cooks. And then when I plugged all those guys in, I had $4,700 left. Excuse me, let me get to Jordan Akins in a second. I played Jordan Akins at tight end. I think I may have forgotten to mention that. I punted with Jordan Akins. So I had a revelation right on the Twitter spaces that I wanted to play Jordan Akins. Because Farrell Brown was out, Brevin Jordan was out, and O.J. Howard to that point in the year had really not been used as a pass catcher aside from the 2 touchdowns he caught in week 1. So Brevin Jordan, I had the idea that I wanted to play Josh Reynolds and Brevin Jordan instead of Khalif Raymond, who would have been the punt on the Lions, and TJ Hockenson. That was a mistake. You know, Reynolds ended up smashing Khalif Raymond, but Hockens ended up really smashing Jordan Akins. Akins did fine. He had like 6 points. He was like 2-for-40. Any other week, that's fine out of a tight end. It's just not fine in the week where the chalk tight end that's owned at like 45% goes for 40 DK points. Let's talk about that now. I would do it again. I would not roster TJ Hockenson again. And as boneheaded and as stubborn as that sounds, I mean, the Seahawks just completely left him absolutely wide open almost all day. He had like an 80-yard catch and run where he was uncovered. Both of his touchdowns, he basically was uncovered. It was like unbelievable. And the reason that I chose Reynolds over him was because I mentioned this as well. You know, Hockenson's role doesn't really change with Amon-Ra St. Brown and DJ Chark out, right? He's playing tight end. He's still going to play 85% of the snaps. He's still going to get what I thought was, you know, between 5 and 8 or 9 targets. And that's kind of what happened. He just crushed with those. He had a little bit more than that, but he just crushed with those targets. And what I saw from Josh Reynolds the week before, you know, Amon-Ra gets hurt and goes out. DJ Chark gets banged up, goes out. And Josh Reynolds snaps increase for basically just 1/2. And he ended up with like 7-for-90 in a basically in a half last week. So I thought with the increased usage this week, Reynolds would be a smash and Hockenson would just do what he normally does and, you know, just garner targets as a tight end. Basically, it came down to the fact that I thought Josh Reynolds' usage and role would change substantially and TJ Hockenson's wouldn't. So I pulled the trigger on Reynolds and Akins. Ended up being incorrect, but that was an absolute statistical outlier for TJ Hockenson. Like, Amon-Ra St. Brown and DJ Chark could vanish off the face of the earth, and TJ Hockenson wouldn't do that again for the rest of the year. Now, did it happen? Yes. Did it cost me probably 30% of head-to-heads? Yes. Right? So, like, if I made that switch and went, because it was an easy 2v2. If I went Hockenson, Raymond, it was a difference of, I don't know, maybe like 20 or 25 DK points. So, you know, it was worth a good percentage of head-to-heads. I probably would have won like 90% of head-to-heads instead of 61, or 85% of head-to-heads instead of 61, something like that. My lineup ended up with 145. There was like a super dupe lineup that ended up in the 170s. Hats off to them. It was basically making that 2v2 switch. I chose the wrong 2v2. I survived it somehow. I had to be one of the only people who cashed double ups without TJ Hockenson. I mean, he was owned at 45-50%. And, I mean, it had to be hard to get there without him. So, lesson learned. I really don't think I could take anything away from it. I probably would do it again because I think... So, the guys that... And this is why I didn't play Richie James, right? So, Richie James ended up being one of my... I believe he was my core four last I talked to you guys. Which, you know, my apologies. Sometimes things happen. That's a disclaimer I always say. Like, it's my core four as of a certain time. Sometimes it'll change. I really couldn't get behind playing Saquon, Richie James, Khalil Herbert, and a defense from that game. Like, that was just too much in my eyes. And I also couldn't get behind, so this super dupe lineup that ended up with like 170, they also played they didn't play Josh Reynolds. They played Jamal Williams, Khalif Raymond, TJ Hockenson. Three guys from the Lions. Now, yeah, sure, you'll play three guys from a team that scores 45 points any day of the week, but I had a really hard time playing three. That's what also made my decision a little bit easier to go Reynolds, Akins, because it limited me to two Lions. And that was probably a mistake. They were so cheap, it probably didn't matter. But I don't know if you could tell, but I just parked. By the way, this is a traditional edition of the ride-in. I am in my vehicle. I just ended up, and I had the extra 600 left. So I bumped up to Reynolds. You know, sometimes you just get lucky. I got lucky to survive this week. Hats off to people that played Hockenson. I'm not saying it was a bad play. It was by no means a bad play. I just thought that Reynolds' increased usage was better than Hockenson. And maybe I should have just played them all, right? I should have just played them all and dropped down from Cooks to, like, I don't know, Romeo Doubs, who we were also interested in. So I hope everybody... Oh, my tournament lineups, man. It was one of those weeks where I was on the right spots and I just didn't get them all in the same lineup. Because I only play three to seven lineups in tournaments. I had Jacobs on the team. I had Rashad Penny on a team. I had the Lions Seahawks stack on a team. Just nothing came together in the same lineup. Irked me a little bit. Okay, tournament day, nothing crazy. A couple min cashes to get my money back overall. And then a small win in cash games. We're rolling though. 3-1. I like to keep a record on the podcast, 3-1 in cash games through 4 weeks. Hopefully you guys did well. Also, I will talk to you on Thursday for the week 5 rundown and then Sunday morning for the live stream. And then we'll be back next Monday with a review of week 5. Good luck in your Monday night showdown contest. Kyle Juszczyk. Anytime TD. First TD score? I always like to throw like $20 on like a weird flyer that has like 40-1 odds. You know, just a cool $800, $1,000. Juszczyk, I think it is tonight. Last night it was Noah Gray. He almost did it. He took a quarterback sneak in the second quarter. If that was the first quarter, I was winning $1,000. Anyway, tangent over. See you guys.